Blog Talk Radio.
God bless this mess, this test we pass.
Another episode of To Liberate. Hi, I am your host, the Ram K. And if you want to get in touch with me while we're on the air, you can call the guest line, and that is 310-982-4137. Again, that number is 310-982-4137. You know, the topic of this conversation that we're going to be having tonight, or that I'm going to be having, one or the other, I would hope that somebody would join me, is really talking about the dysfunction in our neighborhoods, in our community, and what we're going to do about it. You know, time is really running out, and ain't that many strands of sand in the hourglass. And people say, do you see the glass as half empty or half full? Well, I say at this particular point, I really, really am having a hard time of seeing the sand in the glass, period, when it comes to black people or the enslaved grandchildren of the African. You know, this is really, really a crisis for us. We are at an all-time low. We are leading in every category that's negative, that's destructive, that's detrimental to our health, to our life, the quality of it. We're the number one killers of ourselves. And on a subconscious level, and even on a conscious level. So I guess my question tonight here is, what are we going to do about it, people? Family, what are we going to do about it? You know, I named a few categories that I feel that are directly and remotely responsible for our problems. If you want to join me again, if you got something to say, please call me, 310-982-4136. Again, that number is 310-982-4136. Although I haven't done much promoting of my pretty much chats. You just find me. Word of mouth is that I'm there. I'm going to make a conscious effort to be able to promote, because how y'all gonna know I'm here if I don't do that, right? And that I would really, really appreciate the feedback and the commentary and just the dialogue with people that are feeling the same way I'm feeling. Some of y'all don't care, and that's very evident in what's happening. But then some of us are really at our wit's end, and we want to be in a position where we can help, whichever way we can, however we can, get in where we fit in. There's a lot of spirits out there like that, and those are the ones that I'm really interested in connecting with. We got a problem, and we have to come up with a solution and begin to implement it ASAP. Because, again, like I said, we're dying by the dozens. When you look at what's happening, and I'm 80 miles out of Chicago, and the killing and the murders that are taking place with children, and the fact that no one seems to care. No one seems to, on the national level, you don't hear very much about it. We're just constantly talking about sending troops into Afghanistan or whoever, wherever, as if, like my man Ice Cube said, either they don't know or they don't want to show what's going on in the hood. And with that being said, they don't care. All they want us to do is kill ourselves. I mean, and it's very obvious. So we are playing right into the puppet master's hands, that's for sure, because we are giving them just what they expect and just what they want out of us. Genocide and destruction and actually the demise of our black behind. Now, I named a few, in my opinion, organizations, entities that I believe that are directly responsible for keeping us in the condition that we're in, keeping us sick. In fact, they love it, and we're going to do our best right now to start pulling the cover off of these entities, these organizations, and holding them accountable, and in fact having them face the consequences of their behavior and their actions towards their fellow human beings. The first one being our families. You know, our families are so full of dysfunction. And I'm going to start there. When I say our, I mean I'm not excluding myself. I'm right there in this mess. I didn't fall from the heavens. I came from hell like everybody else. And the dysfunction that goes on in our families on an everyday basis is just an extension of the community. In my family, I grew up with two parents. I'm one of the, I guess we're almost like dinosaurs now, people that grew up in a married two-parent household where the father was constructive and very motivated, very progressive young man and a young minister who married very young and began to raise children at a young age. So all the dogma that comes with being raised in an environment like that, you can imagine, Monday, Sunday through Sunday, you found yourself in church pretty much, you know, Bible class, oh boy, Sunday school, prayer meeting, Tuesday night prayer, Wednesday night Bible study. I mean, That was my life growing up. My father, then at a very early age, converted to the Nation of Islam. My mother did not make the choice to convert with him. So just as it says in the scripture, a divided house cannot stand, that was my house. My house was divided. So I would go to the mosque on a Wednesday and a Friday night. You know, in between there, do the everyday functions of a Pentecostal church kid. So it began weird. As his knowledge and as his dedication to his religion grew, so did the changes in how we approached and how we dealt with church. My two other older brothers didn't have to go to church anymore. Right off the bat, they didn't like it and they weren't forced to go. I and my younger brother, on the other hand, we were pretty much forced to go. And I can't say that, you know, I didn't like it, because I learned to nurture the creativity in myself, and for that I would be forever grateful. My talents, although they are inherited, they were nurtured in the church. So I didn't have a problem staying there or being there, I guess, until all that fell apart. So being under the dogma of church, watching so much filth and degradation and inappropriate behavior, all of this taking place in church, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, incest, all of these satanic behaviors were introduced basically to a lot of us children that we witnessed in church. So I put church as one of the number one factors in leading our people into dysfunction, although I'd be hard pressed to find probably five or one person to agree with me on that one, because we have been so indoctrinated and so in love with the church that we won't even look at it in its ugliness. So I use that as definitely one of the entities and one of the organizations that need to be turned upside down, inside out, washed clean, and then represented back to the people. If you want to lead God's people, and if you really are sincere about having us transform and heal our lives, that's the role that the church has to play. You have politicians who are in no uncertain terms helping to continue to perpetuate the situation of poverty, unequal distribution of wealth, disparity and unequal processes. These are things that you pretty much have a lot of thinking of your black politicians. They are agent provocateurs for the most part. And even the ones who have a good heart, they say when they get in there, they really have the really heart to change the people and to do something for their community. Once they get there and see how politics is really ran, they eventually sell you out without telling you the dynamics that are really involved. So you end up being a guinea pig or being a test tube baby for your politician. Okay? Not something that none of us really want to hear, but we have to keep it real. We really do. We have to keep it real about what's going on in our churches and in our homes and with our politicians. Okay? Now, We have a responsibility, and we have a real serious problem in our community with teenage parenting. We have a lot of young people who are so entrenched and so raised by a video and the young hip-hop. I wouldn't even say hip-hop. I would say rap, the new rap mentality, that it is becoming a badge of honor and not of disgrace to leave babies all over the diaspora and to not have not one means to take care of these children on an emotional, spiritual, and a physical level, or financial. This is destroying us, because what we're doing is we're setting these children up at a disadvantage, on top of a disadvantage. They're growing, they're pretty much raising themselves, because most of their parents have produced them under situations and circumstances that was really not really thought out and conducive to anything constructive going on in that child's life, other than it felt good for the moment and let's make a baby. We find too many children in our community being made off of these circumstances. So what happens when you get done feeling good with that woman or that man, you have a child there that you go to the next one, and this life here pretty much almost has to fend for itself. Yep, has to fend for itself. Because you go on to the next one that you bring in, is pretty much not going to respect the life that you have from somebody else, okay? Because if you leave in a trail of the people that you've been in a relationship with, how much more do you think that your new situation or your new mate is going to put into your situation? Probably not a lot. Not a lot at all. For women, those of us who are not conscious of just the science that goes along with mating and just the science of all these men dumping this garbage off into your womb, and you think that you're cute, you're doing something nice, you all that in a bag of chips, when not only are you a whore, you are a trash bag, and you are setting your womb up for a lot of pain. See, and it is the pain in your womb that is going to cause you to have a life of madness left alone. Okay? If you having sex with every person that you in a relationship with, you messed up. If every person you date, you screwing around with, which a lot of you are, and you think that's what you're supposed to do, and the television and your entertainment, like I said, venues don't help, because they promote and they perpetuate these ideas, even for young girls. So if you don't have a strong mother who is leading in a correct path, maybe because of circumstances that she has to work all the time, being single and not having any help, these children are set up to fail. They are set up to be part of the prison industrial complex. They are set up like ships without sails, no guidance. Most of them have fathers who are still running around at 30 years old talking about they want to be rap stars, or they want to what they want to do with their lives, and as if they haven't laid down and helped create lives that need them and to be dedicated to the raising, just like you were instrumental in producing these children. So you have a whole bunch of men boys running around here. You have a whole bunch of young ladies who think that sex is how you're supposed to get a relationship, and as you're supposed to accept 30 women on one guy, and that's just the norm, and if you don't get with the program, then you're just going to be passed out without a lover. So they're finding themselves doing stuff that jeopardizes their self-esteem. Not only jeopardizes it, In fact, that kills it. So what we have to do, we have to wake up to these type of, blocks that are stopping us from being productive. We got to stop and quit blaming white folks for the ills of our community. Because white people is not responsible for you sticking your penis in somebody's vagina and creating a baby and then going on to the next woman and doing that. Or not only that, sticking stuff in people raw dog and then finding out months and years later that you fathered children. I mean, what the hell is really going on with us? We are so sad and sick that in some sense, you don't blame white people for treating us the way they do. Because we're fools, okay? Now, we've had every kind of leader, every kind of guide. We are the leaders and the guide. And at one time, we were the moral compass for America. I don't know if I can really say that now. Now we're the moral compass for some damn dogs. The things we are doing, the things we are saying, the music we are dancing to, the stuff that we show our children and let our kids participate in, the lack of our parenting skills or even concern for what our kids do once they're out of our face and when they go to school, as long as they're out of our hair, this is going to be the destruction of black people. We're going to be extinct, y'all. Listen, I'm going to take a break. And while I do that, just listen on this for a minute. Well, I thought it was. I thought I was going to get some music to come on. Here it is. Oh, check it out. That's me. If you like it, let me know.
There's no reason for you to find fault in me. There's no reason for me to find fault in you. And none of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same sun. The same air, live on the same earth, and under the same sky. So let's just get it right now. Cause you have a soul like I do, so I have no right to judge you. Cause the middle of life is a reflection of how I feel about me.
Yep, yep, yep. Ho, ho, tip. Right back on the scene, y'all. Right back on the scene. You know, I'm still waiting on a call. Haven't gotten none yet, so I guess this conversation must be really, really pricking your fancy, huh? Is it really bothering you? Or you don't appreciate what I said about church people? Give me a call. 310-982-4136. Well, we've been talking about a few things. You know, I've been talking about dysfunctional families. And I started with my family, you know, talking about how my father switched religion. So you can imagine what kind of dynamic that brought on my family. It brought a lot of lot. So much madness till my parents eventually got divorced. Of course, in Islam, they believe that a man should take care of his daughter until she finds a husband. I didn't find a husband by 30 years old, and I became pregnant. Not by accident, but my father swore he would never speak to me again. And with that being said, that's been 23 years ago, and I haven't really had a conversation with my father since that time. Well, that's dysfunction. I wasn't 13, I was 30. And not only did that put a divide, a rift in my family, it really caused me to have some really not good feelings towards my older brother, because he took sides with my father. He would bring notes, or Aiden bring notes that my father would write to me, expressing how disappointed he was in me and in the choices that I made. And when I would write a letter back and say, hey, okay, take this and give it to Dad, he refused to do it. So, of course, he was pretty happy that my father didn't want to speak to me. I used to think it was because I had a child, but as I later got older, I realized that my father really didn't want to be black anymore. And my brother has always had a problem with being black as well. And just by some of their behaviors, I know it sounds so dysfunctional. But I had to really sit back, and this is how these people appear to me. I mean, like I said, I didn't fall from heaven. I'm right from hell, and which caused me to have a lot of dysfunction. And there was a period in my life, and I wrestled with being very unemotional. I've had a lot of relationships where I've been abusive. And all of these are direct result of the dysfunction that I think I was up under growing up as an individual. My father gave us Islam, but he didn't nurture it, if you understand what I'm saying. My mother gave me Jesus, but she didn't nurture it, because I would watch her lie, and then I would watch her do all these things and take on all these foster children and pretty much put her own children in harm's way because of the financial gain of foster children. So when you look at the dysfunction, my father got up and went to work every day. My mother got up and did the same. Inside of our home, we were doing a lot of things that were dysfunctional. Not only were the children fighting one another, I remember pulling a knife on one of my brothers. I remember hitting one of my brothers. You know, we used to fight. I remember one of my brothers, you know, hitting another one of my brothers and, you know, blacking his eyes and stuff. We would do these things when my parents would go to work. Now, don't get me wrong. Kids have disagreements and things like that. But we were actually trying to hurt each other. Some of us took on the nature of my dad, and some of us took on the nature of my mom. And it seemed like my dad was rejecting anything that had to do with anything and anybody black. I think after Malcolm X got killed, my father, he turned Orthodox Muslim, and then he just went crazy. He literally went bananas. He turned on all of us. When the riots came, 1968, cities were burning down all throughout America. He left us and went to Africa. He left his children and his wife and went to Africa, so my uncle had to come and pick us up. And we had to stay at their home because there was army tanks going down the street. There was riots. Buildings were burning to the ground. What a horrible, cold, senseless act. And this is my father. This is the man that is responsible for me being on Earth. So on a cellular level, I love him. But as a man and as I grow up, the illusion of what he really is has been shattered tremendously. The illusion of my brother. So we are in a position where we need healing. But nobody thinks that there's anything wrong, which is like it is in most families. They just think so-and-so is a hothead or she's a hothead or he's a hothead, and that's just how they are. But our families need healing. I was talking to a lady who suspected, and I believe that she knows, that her daughter and her son were having sex with one another and that they produced a child, and the child came to birth with, I think it was blind, couldn't breathe, had to be fed through a tube. Now, there was all these rumors about how the circumstances around this child's birth. Well, of course, the mother didn't know because she spent a lot of her time chasing her addiction. So she's leaving these kids in the house by themselves to grow up by themselves, to explore by themselves, to do all types of crazy stuff in the house by their damn self. Now your daughter has become impregnated by her brother, or the woman who has her 13 and 11-year-old daughter sleeping in the bed together because she can only afford a one-bedroom apartment, and that it is what it is. See, somebody needs to be sleeping on the floor, okay? Excuse me. Because throughout all what I think was dysfunction in my house, I think the main thing that I respect and I thank my parents for is they did grow me up to want to do better. You understand what I'm saying? To want to know the truth. And because I sat in church so much in my mama's womb, I think that something was happening. So that word was penetrating. Although I might can't live up to all the expectations, the message was penetrating in the womb. And so while they was playing church, I was really trying to live it. When I really was trying to do what I thought the example that they were showing me, until I found out that they were all, you know, pretty much hypocrites. Now, we all fall short. And all of us, none of us are perfect. So the fact that all these people are sitting up in church acting like they are was the worst thing in the world, because they were doing things outside or inside the church that a lot of people wasn't even doing outside the church. For instance, again, having sex with your brother, being church people, and having a church girl said by the time she was 10 years old, she had sex with all six of her brothers and her father. These are church people. You know, okay, I'm trying to tell you, if you want to disagree with me, if you want to say that I'm just making this stuff up, you come on and search your heart. Give me a call, 1-310-9. 832-4136 and let's talk about it. Because I'm sure if you would search your heart, you probably got some church stories too. Especially if you've been in long enough. Thing is, will you be honest about it? Will you talk about it? Or are you just going to lie and just play like this stuff that's happening with these priests and stuff is just limited to the Catholic Church? And it really doesn't have any place in the Black Church. And we far away from that. Are we going to do that? I don't think so. Again, the number is 310-982-4136. If you got any dysfunction, if you know that what I'm saying is the truth, you can call back and say, hey, I hear you. I may not want to expose or talk about, but it's those things that we don't want to talk about. It's probably where our healing is going to be. And collectively, as I'm not even concerned about any other group of people right now except for Africans in America that are trying to find out who the hell they are because they've had everything stripped and taken away from them. So they're already behind the eight ball. And if you don't have parents who are love their history enough to know and want to know who they are, how they got here, then you just like, again, a ship without a sail, tossed out into this wilderness of North America and told to survive with demons. And the better you can assimilate him, the better you can act like him, the better you can walk like him, talk like him, do whatever is pleasing in his eye, and conform, then you're a good nigga. You've done well. And those of us who can't and find it difficult to even having to talk that way, you know, to even have to behave that way when you get around folks, white folk in particular. I hear a lot of Black people say, oh, I don't do that. I'm myself at all times. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. Quit lying. I be hearing you talk at home or around your sister girl, and you don't sound anything like you sound when you go to work. Okay? And when they talk like us, it's always some stupid slang, ghetto, crazy stuff they saw on TV. Yo, what's up, dog? What's up, man? You know, as if we don't speak any way other than that. And you probably laugh. He's so cool. Instead of saying, he's so insulting, and he better freeze that shit. Instead of you saying that, you probably laughing about it. We got some problems, Black people. First of all, let's just sum it up like this. We don't do something quick, soon, we don't survive 10 years. We make some drastic measures, some drastic changes. We'll hear from heaven instantly and collectively. We can't afford some of these niggas no more. We can't afford some of these niggas that want to run around and act as if they're for us and our liberation, our progress, when they're really working a hidden hand to keep us messed up. Start with your local politicians and your activists, because a lot of those are double dual agents as well. They seek financial gain for themselves and their families, and the hell with the rest of us. You got to be aware of those kind of folks as well, because they don't mean us and they don't do us no good. In fact, they are very harmful and they are very detrimental to us. We need to realize that, we need to understand that, and we need to deal with this accordingly. Okay? You know, I was just looking at, I think it was on World Star Hip Hop. Yeah. And there was a young man about 9 years old I believe it was, in the daycare, beating the hell out of the kids in the daycare that were infants and that couldn't talk. He was punching them in the noses, punching them in the faces, biting them, doing all kinds of smothering. And then when the staff would come by, you know, he would pat them on the back like he liked them so much. And, you know, when the staff would leave, he took one girl, kicked her in the back so hard, she flew out the range of the camera fast. Just poof. And I want y'all to, you know, those of you who are under the sound of my voice or get a chance to be under the sound of it, go look at that article. I mean, go look at that video, particular video, and see the anger and the rage in that young man. You know? I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand how he could be so angry and to do that to those little bitty babies. And I don't mean those big kids or bigger kids. I'm talking about babies, punching babies. And so what really, really brought the situation home was there was a father who was young as well of one of the little girls. And his little girl kept coming back from the daycare, beat up, and he's not getting an explanation as to what's happening. So, of course, he was very upset, like any father would be. Every time his baby come home, she got bite marks on him, on her, bruises on her face. So what he did was he went to the daycare, and instead of, you know, being an adult about it, asking him, since he know that they have surveillance cameras, let's just run this camera back because I need to find out what's happening to my child in his daycare center. He goes straight to the daycare and to a child that he thought was responsible for doing that and beat the hell out of that child. See? Dysfunction. Dysfunction. Now, I understand that he was mad that his baby got beat up. Who wouldn't be? But that wasn't even the one who beat your baby up. And you went and beat somebody else's baby up. Now you going to jail. And now you're going to be part of the prison industrial complex. See, why we don't have any self-control, very angry, we're very hostile, we're very mean-spirited. We got all these things that's working against us, man. And the thing about it is somebody is rejoicing in our misery. And it's not the gods. You can believe that. You can believe that. It's not our ancestors. They turn it over in their grave. The Malcolms, the Marcus, the Denmark VCs, the Nat Turners, the Harriet Tubmans, they turn it over in their damn grave at the condition or the low level that we've allowed ourselves to sink to. And all I'm trying to say is, with all due respect to us black people, we have to wake up. You know, I just played a song called Just Be. And it was done by myself in a pretty old tune and a brother by the name of Stan. And I'm always start like Michael said, with the person in the mirror. I had a falling out with this producer and we haven't seen each other for quite a while. You know, sometimes as an artist, you know, we are very temperamental and very moody and sometimes it's downright wrong, which I was in this particular case. And I just played a song because although I haven't spoken to him, I reach out and in my heart, I'm sorry. So I've already set the stage and I've already put out the energy that I want to reconcile with my brother, wherever he is. And I think this is what we need to start doing as a family. We need to start saying, listen, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Not so much what somebody did to us. You know, we have to be able to do that and say that in order for us to get past the ills that are happening with us. We have to be able to do that. So as I go into this commercial break, I want you to think about that, huh? Y'all check this out. We'll be right back.
For me to find fault in you, and none of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same sun, breathe the same air, live on the same earth, and under the same sky. So let's just get it right now. But you have a soul like I do, so I have no right to judge you. But the meaning I do is a reflection of how I feel about me.
We are back. Glad to have you there, caller. And you don't have to make a comment. I'm just glad that you are there listening. Thank you. You are listening to Liberate with your host, the Ram K. And we talked about dysfunction, family problems, how we get ourselves in the situations that we do, and how in the world as black people can we get ourselves out. And myself, as I shared with you my family situations, some of them, I'm sure some of you out there got some of the same issues or more. You can't go forward as a community unless we start individually. We all got beef in our family. We got beef. We have to straighten this beef out. So we can bring back the love. Because once you start bringing them, because nobody hates like family. Nobody hates like family. My brother didn't invite his mom to his wedding. Of course, he didn't marry an African-American woman, which as a black woman, I have a hard time with, especially since he tells me he loves black women so much. But I've never seen him date anything but outside of black women. But that's the healing point in our family. It's his personal choice. That's wrong of me to think I can have my preference, but it's definitely wrong of me to put that over on him. And I never have. But I was very angry that he would allow his wife's family to come to his wedding and he didn't invite his black family. Isn't that terrible? And these are all contentions for anger. These are all reasons to say there ain't no love here. How can you love that white man and that white family or whatever more than you love us? How many of y'all got situations like that in your family? Huh? Where you have a brother or a sister who's passing. Actually, I was reading a story with Kadana and Rashida, which are the daughters of Quincy Jones. And as you know, Kadana is more darker than Rashida. Rashida kind of passes for white. I'm not saying that as a knock against her or anything. It's just that because she has her own mentality. And when you listen to people who are of biracial descent and they look more white to the degree where they can pass, what's very interesting about that is they are some of the most hurt people. If you want to talk about just straight up hurt dynamic, because see, one thing about white folk, when they can identify you, they know what to say. Okay? But when you black like that or are mixed ancestry and you look white, oh, man, they take the glove off and they say the things that you would not believe will come out their damn mouth. That's why we need to get for real about our love for ourselves. Because if one thing, they don't look like us. They don't love us. They never have. You might find one here or there that, you know, and on an individual level, I mean, that's fine. But collectively, white folks don't give a damn about you. If they did, do you think that you would, every time somebody shut down, killed, and poor people that are poor people would gravitate to something that they both agree on? Don't you think that would happen? Why in the world would you have poor people that are poor and they still find a reason to hate on one another? Does that make any sense to you? Or if you go to a church and it's like I did when I had the pleasure of living in a white town outside of the city that I'm living in right now, maybe about an hour out, which was very rural. And I made the mistake one day of walking into a white church. It is the most segregated place in America. It is the most segregated place. Nobody got a problem with that? How segregated the church is? Nobody. So let's keep it real with this. Okay? Nobody cares. Now, if that don't tell you nothing, and we all supposed to be Christians, they don't want my black behind worshiping with them. That's the problem. Would you agree? If God is the creator of us all and he loves us all, you wouldn't have an article like I just read the other day where a pastor refused to marry a black couple. Because the parishioners, no, they've been paying tithes, they've been, or whatever they do in the damn church, participating in the church, okay? A young couple, they want to fit in. Now they don't decide to get married. Not a damn congregation done turned on them. They don't feel comfortable marrying. Now, you tell me, what's the difference between a nigger marriage and a white marriage? In their minds, that they don't want the nigger marriage to take place in their damn church. See what I'm saying? It's like, I see your true colors shining through. I mean, some of them get it. And you know the ones that get it. So I ain't even talking to them. They know who they are. But for the most part, the majority of them is some racist pricks. And they know what I'm talking about. Because they got them in their family. They tell me all the time, okay, you want to go to my aunt's house? I'm telling you right now, you ain't seen no shit until you see her. Really? I'm telling you right now, she's a racist. If you really want to see, I mean, do you really want to go there? Because I really want to just stop in here and pick up this check from her, you know, and I'd really rather you not subject yourself to her madness. Sometimes I just go because I want to amuse myself. Oh, they try to be so nice, but they hate my guts and I can look at them. Or some of them don't even try to be nice. They show their disdain right out the bat. Like, can you wait right here? Or can your friend wait outside? Oh, man. That's when I go, hey, look, ma'am, that's okay. I'm going to wait in the car till y'all get done. And she go, okay, thank you. Okay. But I appreciate her. I appreciate the honesty. Okay. What I don't like is the ones who say, oh, yeah, bring your friend. Yeah, she can come over. And then when I leave, she's spraying down her house with Lysol. Talking about she had a nigger in her house today. She got to delouse the place. Or she's not prejudiced because her niece brought her nigger friend over. Oh, my God. Or her nephew brought his black friend. Okay? Okay, don't bother me because I know what I'm dealing with. And I know if white folks gave a damn about us on a larger scale, we wouldn't be still begging for rights that God has given us. Okay, so we're not even going to deal with that. So my beef is not with white folk at all. Not at this point. My beef is only with us. We have gone from the pyramid to the projects. We have become so crazy. If anybody's going to have to start eating our young, it's going to have to be us. We don't love ourselves. We don't love our children. No, it's not limited to black folks. The whole world has gone crazy. But I'm speaking of us because I told you if white people got a cold, we got pneumonia. So if they done gone crazy, and they was crazy in the beginning, and everybody else going crazy, then we're going to suffer we're going to have them, the effects of everybody being sick. We're going to have the symptoms of everybody being sick. And they're going to give all they sickness to us first and make sure we're taken down by it. Okay? So that's a better way for you to look at it, to see that we're in a crisis, and that's the way you should look at it. Because what's going on is I'm not going to have any grandbabies, and those of y'all who got grandbabies, they're going to turn around and bite the heads off of y'all. If y'all don't come to order, apologize to these kids for doing what you did in front of them. My generation I'm speaking to. Begin to try to bridge the gap, okay? You can't teach what you don't know. So you're going to have to start trying to know some shit. You're going to have to take your children back to where we used to do back in the day when we wouldn't let our children forget what we have been through. We cannot allow this thing to beat the love of us up out of us. Because no Jew is going to forget his history. No Jew is not going to not honor his history. It ain't even in him.
You've been beat out of your birthright. You've been beat out of your history. You've been beat out of even having an emotional attachment to Africa, where you would even care. There's somebody over in your mama's house robbing it, and we don't feel no connection. We have to repent and be sorry for that as black people. We got to start caring for each other, whether we here or whether we anywhere on the planet. And those of y'all who don't want to care about us first, you got to practice race first. That's what everybody does. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how you stay alive. If you practice white people and loving everybody first, then you're going to go away. Okay? It don't mean you have to hate somebody to love yourself. So we have to practice race first. I agree with Marcus Garvey when he said that. Now, go back to dysfunction. For you fathers, uncles, who have raped these nieces and nephews and sisters and cousins, and your ass ain't in jail, and you know you did it, and they know you did it, and it's still on y'all mind, and every time y'all see each other, it's the unhidden conversation, man up, nigga. Man up. Time for you to walk to that sister. Step to her. First of all, humble yourself and thank God, first of all, that you're not in jail. But that's not why you go. You go because you know you've ruined her life and that her life was never the same or complete or it's been so difficult, like a tumbleweed blowing in the desert because of what you did. And you know what you did. And because you're not out of jail, then what you need to be doing is you need to be repenting. You need to make amends. You need to repent to that woman and that family because they kept your ass out of jail. Time to bring the secrets out. Time to get them out the closet. Not only was I a perpetuator of sexual abuse, I was sexually abused. Okay? This is what we faced growing up. Let's talk about it. Who did I hurt? Let me start there. Because once we start healing as black people, okay, it'll be easier to be able to heal ourselves. I mean, we can acknowledge that we'll be able to clarify our problems, clarify how we're going to proceed in healing ourselves. But if we don't start with ourselves and in our families, it's a done freaking deal. Do you understand that? We must be willing to listen. We got to be willing to admit that we're wrong. I mean, and we have to acknowledge that we've wronged one another. I mean, that's the only way it's going to happen. That's the only way anything is going to work out. If we can't see ourselves that far on the totem pole, oh, my God. If we can't see that, it's over. It's over. And I don't think a lot of us really realize just how serious that is. We don't realize it. But we got to start in our own families. In order to anything to take a hold, we have to start in our own families. Okay? Your family is an extension of the community. You have to go to some of these people who have hurt you, who have wronged you, and it may not be time to talk to them yet. They may not want to receive it, but you always got to let them know, hey, look, this is on my heart, and let me know when you want to talk about it. When is it? Because I don't like the space that we're in and where our relationship is at this point. Again, if you got something to say, I see a couple callers on the line. The number is 310-982-4136. And you know I love to hear from you. 310-982-4136. And feel free. Just jump in and say something when you like. We are talking about family dynamics and how are we going to heal ourselves in this community. How are we going to heal ourselves? How are we going to get the love back? Because if we don't, some people give us 20 years. I say, no, I give us 10. I give us 10 good years. If we're going and killing each other at the rate that we're killing each other, okay, at the no love, at the abortion rate, and we kill ourselves on all fronts. And again, nobody hate like family. So if we can't start there, and we already know how outside entities deal with us, how they feel, then as gloomy as it sounds, I can't see it being any longer. I can't. Because we've been lost in the wilderness for a long time. And some of us have died out. And what has come about after the death is some people that don't even want to acknowledge the past. But those of us who don't, we're going to be condemned to repeat it. Only in a worse way. In a worse, worse way. Again, hating ourselves to the point where we're quick to kill somebody that looks just like us. We don't even want to hear it. There's no reasoning. There's no rhyme. There's no nothing. There's no talk. There's no compromise. You just dead. There was a party that just went over in Chicago. A five-year-old was having a birthday party, and these fools, some of them ran through the yard, and the fools jumped out of the car and started chasing them through the yard and shooting through a birthday party to kill the five-year-old and her mom. And then one of the stray bullets hit a person driving down the street who ran into a utility pole and subsequently died, who had nothing to do with the damn drama. Neither did any of these people sit at the damn party. How crazy are we? Okay? How crazy. And let me tell you something. Y'all might run around here thinking you running stuff. You ain't running nothing. Trust me, you are not running anything. And anytime you see these guys in your community with these fatigue, you know, these white boys, they look out of place. They got backpacks on and just bold, walking into the craziest neighborhood. Like, I know you're not going to say nothing to me. And, of course, we don't, because we just got a lot of self-hatred. We don't hardly mess with them. They can walk through our community day and night. Ain't nobody going to bother them. Let a black old woman walk through her community at the same time. Boy, she's going to be beat down so damn fast, you ain't going to hit her. But I seen a white boy walking through the heart of the ghetto with fatigues on in the summertime, hair cut short, backpack on, looked very out of place. He looked like he was daring somebody to say something to him because he might come out with a couple hand grenades. I don't know what he had up under his coat. But you're going to have to deal with this dynamic because there are people that will be deputized to deal with us in all our dysfunction. And guess what? They ain't going to find no greater pleasure to be deputized and to help do their racist work, like the guy that just went into this Sikh mosque yesterday Sunday and shot all the damn people up. Talked to the young man in the store. It was his nephew that got shot. This is crazy. And guess what? Who's a white guy? Okay? So you got people that are operating off a stimulus that is so crazy. They dealing with a color phenomenon, and they think that black people is responsible for all their damn ills, okay? Not thinking, you know, they're not even using no rational common sense, okay? They're mad because they feel they're losing their country. Now, how they figure it's their country, that's a whole nother subject. And I really don't think we got that much time. But what I will say is there's going to be a lot more of this type of behavior escalate, like in Oklahoma. Remember the guy shot out, just went up and started shooting black people at random? Now, how can we afford to hate one another when we have all this other pressure coming from the outside and people that look like us willing to sell us up and kill us too on a political level? How can we afford not to love each other and try to find some good in each other? Okay? Some of us are so damn dysfunctional because I'm going to tell you, when a police stop me, he don't care if I make $80,000 or $120,000 a year or if you on welfare. He don't even care. Matter of fact, if I'm driving a nice car, he's going to think I stole it. So how we this country is on a color phenomenon. They own a color phenomenon. Okay? We hate oppression. And it just so happens that we are oppressed. And those of us who are oppressed, if we can't find not one subject to gather around, oh, man, we are screwed. We are screwed. So black people, when I talk specifically to you, it's because that's the group I belong to. And I realize that as the original people on the earth that we got a responsibility. We used to be the moral compass for the world. I keep saying that because I want to remind us of who we are. We were the moral authority for the world. We brought literature, gave them science, gave them mathematics. Oh, forget all that Newton laws of physics? Imhotep. Okay, we're not going to go there. We gave everything to the world, and now we can't pick ourselves up out of this degradation. What the hell is going on? But the word says that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. So we got to step it up. There are some of us that are going to die out in the wilderness, y'all, and we got to be willing to let them go. Because they ain't trying to help nobody. They ain't trying to help themselves. They will eat you. So we're going to have to take the responsibility in some of these cases. Try to lead them in a direction that only you know that God can heal. And if they are just all in line, they've all had a pipe, like D'Angelo said, had a slice of the devil's pie, ain't nothing you really can do about it but to look at them as somebody that's diametrically opposed to your survival, whether he looks like you or not. We can't go on the way we've been going. That's the bottom line. And if I say this every damn day till you blue in the face, until we all are in this together, we are going to perish. Without a vision, the people will perish. And we will be destroyed for our lack of knowledge. You know, how we see things, how we don't give a damn. We don't give a damn no more. And, you know, we're going to have to come back to giving a damn. And we got to start again, sweeping around our own front door. I keep saying nobody hate like family. Because when I started delving into this subject, I got so many emails just talking about what was going on in everybody's family that it just made me comfortable to talk about what was going on in mine. Because we all in this together. And so whatever level you on, you're going to have some dynamics in your family that you're going to have to straighten out. You're going to have at least to attempt to. Because once you open up that door, it gets a little easier. And we can't be afraid, okay, because God can't use no coward soldiers. He really can't. And it is upon your behind once to die. You're going to die. So don't get real comfortable here. God is not impressed with your Visa card and your MasterCard and your American Express and all those other things that you have that you hold so near and dear to you. He's not impressed with that. okay? But what you need to be impressed with what you leave here and what you leave behind. And, you know, try to make the world a little bit better place than it was when you got here. That's really all you can do. And you have the responsibility and you have the obligation to point out injustice. Because you're going to have the poor with you always. Okay? And for all you that preach that stuff, teach it and really mean it in your heart, because you really don't have to have no, be no Bible-toting person to understand where the word is universal. And it pricks all the nervous systems as truth. Now, whether you turn away from it, that's up to you. But you're going to be held accountable for what you know and what you didn't do. Okay? I can't do a lot, but in my own little small circle, you know, I can do what I continue to do. Offer the kids a hot dog and slip them a tape and make them go and watch it. And sometimes they come back and ask the questions that they, I know they're not being asked in school, okay? Because nobody's challenging them like that in school, okay? So if I'm going to sit here and I can talk about the problem, I got a responsibility to try to do something. And all of us can do something, even if we have to pay them to do what's right. I know that sounds so crazy, but their parents have dropped the ball. Guess what? And we dropped the ball, those of us who are older than that, maybe not me personally, but we have to look at, if it's a community, then we have to look at it like that. There's no way in the world we could be in the situation we in unless a whole lot of us have dropped the damn ball. You know? So sometimes we might have to pay a kid, be like, look, I got a quarter for all of y'all to come up here, and I want you to pick up this paper, and I want you to listen to this. Yes, because what you are giving them is way more than the few dollars that you possibly had to quiet them down to listen. And it's worth it, because they're not going to do them to go home and play video games all day, unstructured, and their parents are not really actively involved. They don't really care. So you got to care enough to make sure that somebody puts some seeds in in this soil. You have to make sure. You have to make that a commitment. You have to want to. Okay? If you want to survive, you really don't have a choice. It should be part of your mantra as a human being and part of the human family. Okay? I don't understand why people think that they're doing something when they help somebody or something that's worse off than them, and to kick somebody when they're already down. And this is the kind of society that we live in. And so, again, if white people have a cold, we know we got pneumonia, we shouldn't kick ourselves no more. No more. It's over now. We got to love each other or else. Okay, and I know some of us are so hard to love, and some of us are easy to love, but we're going to have to find something in some of these children that we know is worth saving, because if we don't, they're going to prey off of us as well, just like they're going to do the rest of the society. That's what they're going to do. And then you got them right back where you want them in the prison industrial complex. So you got slavery right at your doorstep. And what we're doing is we're breeding a lot of children for that purpose. I mean, what are we going to do about it? What can we do about it? Somebody say it's too overwhelming. It's too overwhelming. Well, look, let me tell you one thing. All these damn great societies, they lasted longer than America. America is only an experiment. And she's only, what, 400 or 500 years old. At least all the other empires have lasted a little longer. I mean, they're thousands of years old. We didn't kick up so much hatred that I don't even know if we're going to even make it to 600 years. And we all is in this stuff. We all in it, whether we want to be or not. I don't like it that my people were captured. The very fact that I'm over here is a freaking crime. Okay? And I don't even like that. And I won't forget it, because I can still hear my ancestors screaming in the holds of them slave ships. And so nobody can make me forget that. However, I am here. And right now, I got to do what's best for the people that look like me, who are also the enslaved great-great-great-grandchildren of these people, who loved each other so much to try to stick together through all the adversity that they were facing. I got to figure out how, and we have to figure out how can we bring that love back, that slave ship love, okay, when we knew who the enemy was, okay? That's what I'm talking about, because if we anything less, no, it's going to be ineffective, okay? People have a very hard problem with me addressing black people first and foremost. And you shouldn't feel that way, because white people, y'all have people speaking out for your interest. In fact, you don't even got to worry about it because you're the rulers. You're the rulers. Okay? And even though we are as a country in a crisis, guess what? You're still going to be better off than the lowest of my people, because we are on the low end of the totem pole. Remember that. So I have an obligation. I have an obligation. Not that I want to oppress you or anybody else, but I have a commitment and an obligation to speak directly and unhypocritically to the clan that I belong to. You know, and I really hope, because y'all do whatever y'all do, that's not really my concern, first and foremost. First and foremost, I can't, because every time I pick up the paper, it's me I'm looking at. When I see my little nephews and little children that are talking to me and telling me that they don't want to be black because the media shows just an exorbitant amount of negativity associated with people that look like us, and you have children growing up having self-hatred, still picking the white doll. I can't afford to talk to white folk. Y'all got somebody to talk to y'all, and that's really fine and good. I have to talk to these group of people that I belong to, because we are dying by the thousands. And on the weekends, man, once we get full of oil and drugs and you can forget it. You can add a couple more hundred on to the total. This has got to stop. You cannot self-medicate the pain away, people. You got to stand up in the face of it and deal with it. We got to deal with the pain body that slavery has put upon us, and then the responsibility to bring some of this love back, because we're worse off than we were during Reconstruction. And we're worse off than we were when we first were let free. That, to me, is the biggest tragedy. We got more senators, more people in Congress, more people in government, whatever. But the condition for us as a whole has gotten worse. And that is not by accident. That is by straight design. It's by design. Well, you know, I know sometimes we get a little deep in here, but that's okay. It's like pulling a scab sometime off a wound, and you know, you thought it was healed, but you know it ain't, because every time you rub that spot, you know it hurt anyway. So let's just scrape it off, and let's do it this again, because we got to wake up, and somebody has got to be able to tell the truth. Okay, you're not gonna find truth on mainstream TV. You're gonna hear all this filtered, watered down babble, babble, babble. But we're in a crisis, black people. And I'm gonna close the show again by playing a tune that was written and composed by Seb and myself. And it's called Just Be. And in an ideal world, we could all just be. But right now, we got work to do. And I hope that you have taken this conversation that we had to heart and do what you can do to save us, because we need you. We need everybody. We need all hands on deck. All right? Until next time, liberate yourself. Bang on that beast daily. All right? Hotep family, just be.
Find fault in you. And none of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same sun, breathe the same air, live on the same earth, and under the same sky. So let's just get it right now. Cause you have a soul like I do, so I have no right to judge you. But the bigger life is a reflection of how I feel about me. Created. Let's stop looking at races, classes, and faces. Yeah.